Blog Talk Radio.
It's Hard Hits Live with the baseball podcast as we do an hour. Derek Felix on the podcast, and we've got a lot of baseball stuff to get to in this very, very hot and humid month of August. And it should be a good one as we talk Yankees as they bounce back after an awful series against Boston. The DeGrominator gets a win and gets run support and plenty of other stuff. So get ready as we come at you with another edition of the podcast, another edition of the podcast here. Baseball, all MLB, all the time. Get ready as we talk baseball and get as the playoff chase heats up. Coming up next here on the Hard Hits Network. Here in Staten Island, New York City, NYC, in full effect, like Rex in effect, Rump Shaker, because I'm hot as a faker, and I'm naughty by nature, not because I hate you, but it is a baseball edition of the podcast here on the Hard Hits Network here on August the 9th of 2018 here on the East Coast. Hope everybody is good out there, lots of baseball to get to. As we take a look at what's going on with these playoff races and chases and even MVP pursuits as that heats up as well. So there's a lot of stuff to get to here over the next hour. I'm your host, Derek Felix. Good evening, everybody. And this is a 1 hour live edition here of this podcast, this baseball podcast, and very hot, very humid in New York City right now, and not without some thunder and lightning and some downpours, heavy downpours earlier last night or tonight around the 7 o'clock hour here in the Staten Island area, and something that you're going to get when you have all that heat. We are in the middle of a summer heat wave. July was tolerable. August has been unbearable and uncheerable. And it looks like it's going to be that way for a while. So with temperatures in the mid-80s, it is the dog days of summer right now. And, you know, baseball heats up at this moment. There are so many things going on in the baseball season. I mean, and things are starting to clear up a little bit. We saw some of that, unfortunately, for the New York Yankees as they were absolutely crushed by the Red Sox in an awful four-game series. A sweep at the hands of the Red Sox, their bitter nemesis at Fenway Park. You know, there's nothing like a four-game series when it comes to Yankees and Red Sox. I mean, you talk about the greatest rivalry in baseball, maybe the greatest rivalry in sports, although some people might argue Giants, Dodgers, and there might be other arguments as well for other sports. But when I think about the Yankees and Red Sox, I mean, the history behind it, the Babe, the curse of them being beautiful for a long time for the Red Sox until 2004, after Warren Boone walked off in 2003, that cold comeback against Pedro the year before. And the Red Sox since have been the better team. They've been the better team since winning that World Series. It's coming back, making that historic comeback from 3-0 down, or I should say all 3 down. I like to say it that way. I went in 4 straight to make baseball history. And they've won three times since. So 3 times if you count 2004, and I think it was either 2006, 2007, and the last one was 2012. So they've won 3. The Yankees have won once back in 2009. So that's almost a decade ago. As the Yankees are in search of a record world championship number 28. But they've got a very tough road ahead of them, and that's what we're finding out. We're finding out just how badly they miss Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is the best player on this team, and he's one of the best players in the game. And just how valuable he is to this lineup. When you see how badly they've struggled offensively, although they did kind of come out of it against the hapless White Sox, went in three straight there in Chicago, and even that wasn't without a little bit of tension there. In that second game where the White Sox pushed it to extra innings and Britton could not get the job done after Giancarlo had an uppercut opposite field 2-run blast in the 10th inning. It was Jose Abreu who's been heating up, and he's always been a good second-half player, and he took Zach Britton deep, and Chapman was not available because he threw 39 pitches in that Sunday night game, a game that was just, that was really, really tough to watch. Unless you were a Boston fan, that was tough to take. He just was a little bit off. He got squeezed on a couple of pitches. The Red Sox found a way to tie the game. And of course, you could look at it, you could look at it differently and say, well, it wasn't all his fault. After J.D. Martinez hits the 2-run single, which was just crushed, a very hard line drive, exit velocity. The velocity was probably like 115 miles an hour. Lucky he didn't do more damage there. But, you know, they had a deep ground there to third base by Bogarts. And Andujar is still a rookie, and he's still learning the position of third base, and he's not great defensively yet. But he kind of backed up a little bit, and you don't want to back up too much on a play like that because you got a pretty fast runner, and it made it a harder play. All that being said, even though it was a hop, it was one that Greg Bird should have had, and he did not. And I put more blame on Bird for not fielding it because he's supposed to be in there They put him in as a defensive replacement, and it's kind of ridiculous. Kind of ridiculous that Luke Voit is playing in any of these games. They did pick him up from the Seattle Mariners, the Adam Warren trade. And I don't know. It's just very frustrating. Very frustrating to watch, certainly. But we know what ended up happening. Burr didn't field it cleanly. And once that happens, even though Chapman got the strikeout with the slider, which he should have gone to probably on a couple of batters sooner than that, before that whole comeback came back, you kind of knew where it was going to happen, and the Red Sox wound up winning the game. Benintendi hitting the ball where it's placed up the middle. Very professional hitter for a young guy. And the Red Sox wound up walking off in the 10th inning, and it felt like 2004 all over again, even though it was a totally different thing because it's regular season. You can't compare that to a historic series, a historic ALCS, but it just felt like it. I don't know. I mean, some of the losses were just really tough. And it was a 5-game losing streak going to U.S. Cellular Field. Or is that what it's still called? I don't even know what it's still called, but a bust of a ballpark for the White Sox. A just miserable franchise. And the Yankees did what they had to do. They won 3 in a row. They swept the series against an awful team. And even though that game late last night, in the 13th inning with Sonny Gray, having to dig deep, there was nobody else to go to for Aaron Boone after Zach Britton blew it. So he went to Sonny Gray, who's now on the bullpen. And he got 9 outs. And he pitched very well, only allowing 1 hit and pitching a lot better and locating his stuff. He had the good curve. He had the good fastball moving away from the batters, getting that last strikeout swinging against Delmonico. And the Yankees able to win that game. Andujar. With a big 2-out hit, kind of an uppercut swing at a very well-sinking slider, and able to take care of business with 2 outs. And he's a very clutch player, as Andujar, I'll tell you. Yeah, everybody talks about Gleyber Torres, and he made a lot of mental mistakes against the Red Sox also. So it wasn't just Andujar who took his lumps, but, you know, you have to remember these guys are rookies. Andujar is 23 and Gleyber is 21. And they're going to learn and they're going to mature as players and they're going to get better. But I'll tell you, Andujar, situationally, I'll take him in that big spot. I will take Miguel Andujar in that big spot. He seems to get the job done. And, you know, somebody made a comparison, compared Andujar and the way he swings to a former Yankee, Alfonso Soriano. Maybe. As Andujar does not take a lot of pitches, he can hit pretty much anything. But I don't like making comparisons. So we're not going to make comparisons. And we'll see where it takes them. Tonight, the Yankees played a little home run derby. Giancarlo Stanton with his first career grand slam as a Yankee. And Severino struck out 8 batters in 7 innings after giving up 3 runs. So I gave up 2 in the first and a home run, another home run. I think that's the 8th or 9th that he's given up over the last 4 or 5 starts. So he needs to obviously do a better job there. But the Yankees doing what they have to do. And Andujar was a big part of that. In that 4-3 victory on Tuesday evening. And Sonny Gray will finish the job. And right now he's in the bullpen. And it's working out so far. Lance Lynn, who pitched an excellent game on Monday, totally shut down the White Sox. It didn't give up a run and struck, I think, 8 or 9 batters. And he's pitched a lot better in the second half. So maybe that was a real good pickup for the Yankees there, a steal, where they only traded away Tyler Austin. I still don't understand why Luke Voit even is on this roster. But with Greg Bird's struggles, I don't know, maybe the Yankees might have to rethink things as far as what they do. As we're looking at some Red Sox highlights, another victory for the Red Sox. Who could beat the Red Sox? That's the question. Certainly not the Blue Jays, who are terrible. I mean, you saw what they did to the Yankees. And that was about Chris Sale, who has shoulder inflammation and is on the DL. I think he will be due back pretty soon. But the Red Sox, I think the difference between the Red Sox and the Yankees is just that their lineup's better and that they have more versatility. They run, and they absolutely ran the Yankee pitchers to death in that series at Fenway Park. And they just got great jumps off the pitchers. CeCe doesn't throw over to first, and they got the great jumps off him. He was out of there pretty early. And that was part of the strategy, was just being very aggressive. But they're also a very good situational hitting team. When you have guys like Mookie Betts and you have guys like Benintendi and even J.D. Martinez, and J.D. Martinez and Betts are 1-2 right now in that MVP race, along with one Michael Nelson Trout. And then you could talk about Jose Ramirez and maybe Francisco Lindor. And Crush Davis. I just named you the six guys, you know, that will probably be the top six for the MVP right there. But I think Mookie and JD are in a race right now against each other. They're on the best team, a team that's on pace to win 112, 113 games. JD Martinez continuing to knock in runs as we look at highlights here. Devers comes back and hits a home run. He's not headed for much of an average, hitting about 248, 249, but he does hit for power and an important player that plays third base for them. Benintendi raising his average. It's got to be close to about 306, 307. Things are certainly changing. The Oakland Athletics continue to win ballgames. They just came away with a 3-2 victory over the Dodgers. Two very, very good teams to watch, certainly. As they were able to take the rubber match at the Coliseum, a place that needs to be replaced, unfortunately, if nobody really turns out. But they always seem to do it. They always find a way to field competitive ball clubs, and they're doing it again. And meanwhile, the Mariners are in a big-time funk right now. Joey Gallo, who's just trying to hit 200. And I think he still might be below it, but I said he would hit about 46, 47 home runs. I told JPG he would hit about 47, 48 home runs. Well, he hit two more home runs today. I'll say today. And so those are numbers 30 and 31. So he'll get there. Joey Gallo will get there. And he's that kind of power guy. You know, imagine if he could hit for some kind of average. If he could hit like 230, 240. I mean, that's a little different than the Reds, who have Billy Hamilton, who can't really get on base, doesn't hit for any pop, and now instead of stealing 50 to 60 bases, he's stealing around 30 bases because he can't get on. And I think Billy Hamilton should not be a starter. I think he should be an extra guy. Maybe he should just play against lefties. I think the Reds need to make a change there. I think the Reds are on the right track. I think they've made some good changes, but certainly Billy Hamilton can't be a starter, but they have some excellent hitters through the Reds. Scooter Jeanette was an excellent player, and certainly the third baseman, Eugenio Suarez, who will get MVP votes, but he'll finish probably in the bottom half of the 10 because there are still better candidates for that MVP. The Mariners were outslugged by the Rangers, and they fall to 65-50, and they've hit a wall. And they have enough hitting, the Mariners. Their pitching is not doing the job. And the A's are getting good pitching. They picked up Mike Fiers for basically nothing. Mike Fiers is a guy who's well-traveled. But Mike Fiers is a nice pitcher, a guy who can give you depth. He can give you 6-7 innings, and he has good control. And that was just a real smart pickup by Billy Bean, who stole Jerry's Familia from the Mets for a song and dance. a lot of stuff going on. Oakland continuing to look very strong. I think they're about 2.5 or 3.5. Three games in the West Coast up. They're charged. Jed Lowry having an excellent season for the Athletics, closing in on 70 RBIs. I'll tell you, this guy is so underrated. He's always been very underrated as Jed Lowry. And Chris Davis doing what he usually does, on pace for 40-plus home runs and 120 RBIs. And Marcus Semien, he still has the speed, not really hitting for average and not really providing the kind of bat that I thought he would provide this year. But Marcus Semien with lots of speed. And you have Chapman, who hits for power, has got over 20 home runs. This is a dangerous team. They really are. They're a very dangerous team. And that's not a team I really want to face in a wild card, in a one-game wild card. But if you can't win at home, which where the Yankees are, Yankees would be the home team. And if they continue to take advantage of a favorable schedule, they should still be the top wild card team. It looks like it's way too late to catch the Red Sox, who don't lose games anymore. If you can't win at home in that wild card game, whether it's going to be Tanaka or Severino, I probably would go Tanaka because he's a big game pitcher, and save Severino for game one of what could be a great 5-game series against the Red Sox. And hopefully by then, the Yankees will have righted themselves and they'll actually be able to compete. There's no guarantee here. There's no guarantee that they're going to make that series. Not when you see what the Athletics are doing and you see their lineup, and it's certainly very potent. Now, there is a difference, though. I talked about Aaron Judge and his importance to this team. And it can't be overstated, Aaron Judge, what he means to that Yankee lineup. And even Gary Sanchez, he's had his flaws. He's had a bad year so far, and he's out, obviously. He's trying to come back pretty soon, hitting below the Mendoza mark, but he has the 14 home runs. And he's got his defensive issues behind the plate with the pass balls. But I'll tell you what, if you put Gary Sanchez in the middle of that order, along with Aaron Judge, and that's a totally different lineup. That is a totally different lineup than what you have. It's just terrific, certainly, to have those guys back. And I don't know when you're going to see Judge. It might be not until the second week of September, the way things are looking. He's definitely hurting. It's not looking too good for him, as this is the podcast here, baseball podcast, Derek Felix, as we watch Quick Pitch here with Kelly Nash, the excellent host. She splits time, of course, on this show. So, splitting time. But watching highlights, we're going to take a look at Jacob DeGrom's latest big outing, as the Mets actually got a win for DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom leads the majors in ERA. He lowered it from 1.83 to 1.77 with 6 scoreless innings and 10 strikeouts. And he's 6-7. 6 wins and 7 losses. And he was 0-5 in his last 7 starts with 2.47 ERA. So the ERA had gone up a little bit, which can happen sometimes. You're not going to be perfect. I think it's very tough mentally, focus and lockdown when your team's not supplying any run support. But I'll tell you what, his career ERA in day games is the best since 1913, according to Anthony DeComo, who covers Jacob DeGrom, beating out the likes of Joe Wood and Eddie Cicotti. I'd rather forget, because the Black Sox scandal was just on last night. I watched a little bit of it, 8 Men Out, very, very underrated baseball film. But obviously sad to watch, certainly. But the Mets were able to put up 8 runs today. 3 RBIs apiece for Brandon Nimmo and for Austin Jackson. Austin Action Jackson, he still plays. And Bautista got his 1,000th run scored. But it was Jacob DeGrom delivering and pitching very well. And here's a question. Here is a legit question. $1 million Max Scherzer continues. to pile up the wins and go deep into games. And he would have won the other day, except the Nationals bullpen blew that. And they wound up losing the game to the Braves. And their Nats are just a very puzzling team. But if Jacob took, how many more wins does Jacob DeGrom need to possibly get the vote and beat out the two-time defending Cy Young champ, Mr. Cy Young himself, million-dollar Max Scherzer? That is a legitimate question for voters, because when you look at DeGrom, he's the best pitcher in the game this year. The problem is that he's on an awful team. He doesn't have a lot of wins. And Scherzer just continues to be his dominant self and is going to wind up with close to 300 strikeouts. So are they going to give it to Scherzer again because of the superior strikeouts? He'll have probably finished with more innings pitched and so forth, or will DeGrom actually have a chance at this thing? Now, these are the best ERAs in the game. You have DeGrom at 1.77, and you have a very good AL Cy Young race, which looks like it's basically a two-horse race now between Chris Sale on the Sables and Justin Verlander, 2.19 ERA, and just incredible strikeouts. Even though Trevor Bauer is third with the 2.25 and Blake Snell is 2.27, I think it's a two-horse race right there. The National League, it's DeGrom, Scherzer, and then Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola, the ace of the Phillies. Those are your three guys right there. So that you'll look at, and you take a look at, and you could see it. So be very interesting to see. As we look at some Diamondbacks highlights here on the MLB Network, and it looks like they got the better of the Phillies tonight. Two teams that are going at it have gone back and forth. Looks like the Diamondbacks are taking the rubber match of this one. So looking at some highlights here. Eduardo Escobar had a couple RBIs in this game. They got him from the Twins, and they wound up with a 6-0 shutout. And don't forget that they have that 1-2 punch. They got the 1-2 punch of Zach. That is your 1-2 punch. And Corbin, 9 strikeouts and 7 1/3 of no earned runs. And you got a couple of division races that are very interesting to watch. So we're not just talking about Cy Young race. We could also talk about the MVP race, but we can also talk about some of these divisional races. So while the Yankees are 8 in the loss column and 9 back of the Red Sox, that's 71-42, they are 29/500. The Red Sox are 81-34. And the Indians obviously have things locked away against the Twins. They had a walk-off win tonight. Then you have the Oakland Athletics, 5 back of the Astros, 73-42, and they're now 3 clear of those Seattle Mariners, who have lost 2 in a row and have not played well at all. Here's the question. The question is, these couple of races, what's going to happen? Can the Braves stay with the Phillies? They've won 8 out of their last 10, and they did a good job against the Nats, who had been playing better. Bass finally coming around. He's got his average around 235 now, and he's up to 28 home runs. But the Braves are half a game back. They sit half a game back, gaining a game with the Phillies getting shut out in Arizona. The Phillies are 64-50. I think the Phillies are a little better than the Braves. So I kind of favor the Phillies to win that division. The Braves could still get in as a wild card. But the race is very, very tight right now, and we're going to get to that in a second. So there's that. There's the race for the NL East between the Phillies and Braves. The Nats are 6 back, and it's very hard to take them seriously when it looks like they're ready to finally make a push, and Murphy gets healthy, and Ryan Zimmerman's finally healthy, and it's swinging good bat, and Harper's finally hitting. They still lose games that they should win. So it's very hard to take them seriously. You have the NL Central, the Cubs, were shut out badly by the Royals. I don't know what that's all about, but they lost to the Royals pretty badly. And I think they lost two games there in Kansas City. They're 66-48. That is an NL best record right now. 48 losses are the least amount. They have the same amount of wins as the Brewers, who are hot and cold. You just don't know what's going to happen with them. They scored a lot of runs against the Padres. They'll win tonight, 66-51. So they play three more games, and so it's a game and a half for the Cubs. The Cardinals are quietly up to 60 and playing themselves back into that wild card race. And they've moved ahead of the Pirates, who have been up and down. They're 59-56. The problem, as I see it, it's so bunched up. You just don't know what's going to happen. And you have the NL West, which is basically a three-horse race. I'm not counting the Giants anymore because they're under 500, and they're not really what I would say a true contender. The Diamondbacks, with their win, they're 64-52. The Dodgers, with their loss, fall out of first place, and they're half a game back, 63-52. And the Rockies had a rough go of it in their recent series and are 60-54. The Rockies are a very weird team. The Rockies, they have a week where they're very bad and are losing a lot of games. And then they'll go on a run and they'll win 6-7 games in a row. So, you know, which Rocky team are you going to get? That's the question. They're three games back of the Diamondbacks, 60-54. So what does this all translate to? A very unique wild card race. Whereas it's the Yankees and the Athletics in the American League, with only the Mariners really alive chasing those Oakland Athletics. And the Yankees are 4-5 on the loss column and 4 ahead of Oakland. In the National League, it's very different, because you got divisions up for grabs, all three divisions up for grabs. You've got the Brewers a game and a half out of the division behind the Cubs, and they are the number one wild card team at 66-51. You've got the Atlanta Braves, who are doing a really good job staying in there. They are 62-49 with both Freddie Freeman and Nick Markakis delivering very big hits for this team, and they are the second wild card, and they're only a half game behind the Phillies with one fewer loss. Then you have the Dodgers, who are once again back in second place in their division, and they fall a game behind in the wild card. So I think the Dodgers will find a way to win the NL West, and it'll probably be the Diamondbacks, Rockies, Braves, and the Cards. Maybe all these teams are going to be competing for those two wild card spots. Although I think Milwaukee will definitely lock up one. If they do not win their division, and the Cubs do, I think the Cubs are a little better. And they picked up Hamilton. Hamilton has pitched two excellent ball games, and he's been rejuvenated, as I said he would be. I would expect the Cubs to win that NL Central. I expect the Brewers to have that top wild card spot. And then the other wild card spot, well, that's up for grabs. So there's a lot of teams bunched up. And you have about 6 or 7 teams that are competing here. There are 8 teams competing. I mean, you got divisions up for grabs, and you have a couple of wild cards up for grabs. So it is a very close call as far as what's going to happen with the baseball race in the National League, and one that's going to be very interesting to watch unfold. So that's where we stand with things right now in the baseball race. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. Since I actually have a little time, so I'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Baseball Podcast right now on the Hard Hits Network. It is Derek Flex Felix here for about another 20 minutes live as we do our little baseball podcast for about another. And as we set up baseball, we set up the baseball race. And how about the MVP race? Why don't we look at the MVP race? Let's take a closer look at what's going on in the MVP discussion. I'm not going to talk about the American League one because I really think it's between two players on the same team with the best player in the game just right behind, along with a pretty remarkable player on the Cleveland Indians as well, and then a couple other guys. So, I mean, it seems like the AL has all the great players. They have all the great guys in this one league this year. It's just the way it's set up. So sometimes it's like that when it comes to a season. But, you know, clearly you look at that, you look at that American League, and you look at Mookie Betts, you look at J.D. Martinez, and then, of course, Michael Nelson Trout, who's got those MVPs already. And you look at Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor. You just take a look around at what's out there in the AL. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive, certainly. Now, the NL is a little bit different because I don't think there is a clear-cut guy. And that includes Nolan Arenado, who always puts up great numbers for the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, it really could depend if the Rockies are a playoff team. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're someone that, you know, votes, you should vote for who you think is the best player. Let's look at the mesmerizing Kelly Nash on MLB Network and her red outfit and red dress. And probably the best looking, one of the nicest working people that I could think of as far as working on MLB Network. She's very nice and she responds to her fans. So maybe one day we'll actually get her and interview her. But I would love to get her on the Hard Hits Network, but we'll see. We'll see if that's actually possible. I don't know if it is or if it's not, but it would be nice to. So let's look at this MVP race. And You've got it's very interesting. It's an interesting race, certainly. I mentioned the two Braves. I mentioned Freddie Freeman. Obviously, everybody thinks Freddie Freeman's the only guy on that team. But I'll tell you what, Nick Markakis gets some votes. He could get some votes for it. You know, their average and their RBIs are almost identical. Yeah, I'm not even kidding when I say that. You know, they're both hitting over 500. I'm sorry, they're both hitting over 300. Excuse me. So why don't I break it down a little bit? I'm talking about the two Braves here. So let's talk about the two Braves. Who has the most hits in baseball? Well, it's that guy who's always been very underrated, underappreciated, and I think Baltimore certainly didn't realize how solid a ball player he was. That's Nick Markakis with 140 hits. And he found a new home with the Braves, and he always played a good right field with Baltimore. And he had a little more power when he played at Camden Yards. But this year, he's been pretty impressive. Very impressive for the Atlanta Braves. Turn back the clock a little bit is Nick Markakis. As we look at Nick Markakis, he's number one in hits. And who's number two? Freddie Freeman, that guy. So Nick Markakis, I mean, when you look at it and you break it down, 322 with 13 home runs, 16 RBIs, 879 OPS. Look, he's probably not going to be in the top five. But I think he'll definitely get some votes, and probably he could finish maybe in that top eight or top nine when you think about the season he's had. He delivers a lot of big hits for this team. So I want people to consider that. You know, when you talk about, you know, what he's been able to do, he certainly has been a very, very crucial player to the Atlanta Braves and done an excellent job. So, you know, I always try to take everything into consideration. Like, for example, with the bases loaded, he hits 556 of a home run, one grand slam, and 12 RBIs. So that's a perfect example of it. And he's been a really big player for the Atlanta Braves this year. So Friedman, who garners all the attention, he plays first base. He plays an excellent defense. He's 28. He's in his prime. 314, 18 home runs, 70 RBIs. He probably would have to finish with about 30 home runs to have a real chance at this. So he's not a guy who hits, you know, for as many home runs as other guys. But if he could wind up with like 30, 31 home runs and wind up around close to 100 RBIs and hit about 320, well, you know what? And the Braves win that division, then you know what? He could wind up stealing it. It's possible. It's very possible. As we talk about, you know, this MVP race, this very unusual MVP race. How about another candidate that that doesn't get any discussion? That's Mac Carpenter. He has a 26-game on-base streak, and he's got 14 home runs and 24 RBIs over with an .892 slugging. He leads the NL with the 31 home runs. He had another home run today in a W. Mac Carpenter looks like he will lead the NL in home runs. Mac Carpenter, an MVP candidate. See, that's a really tough question to ask. Is he an MVP candidate? I mean, the numbers would tell you, with now that he's hitting all these home runs and he continues to knock in runs, they would tell you yes. He has two more home runs than Nolan Arenado, and he continues to just absolutely crush the ball. But his RBIs, his RBI total is still a little bit on the low side with 63. Knocked in. Part of that's the team that he's on. Osuna has not made a good impression, or a good first impression at least, on the Cards. DeLong has had a very bad season. He's only knocked it around today. And Yadier Molina just came back, and he's back to knocking in runs, but totally healthy. So that's not a great lineup. You know, it's not a great lineup, especially when you have Dexter Fowler or Molina hit his 15th home run. Carpenter has 31 home runs, though. The lineup's been disappointing. I thought that was a team that would make the playoffs, and they've just been disappointing. And that starts with Carlos Martinez. I actually picked him as a Cy Young winner. Why did I do it? I wanted to be different. You know, you don't want to always pick the same player. You know, it's easy to pick Max Scherzer. It's easy to pick a Jacob DeGrom. You think maybe he could actually compete for it, or pick John Lester, or pick Kershaw. Even though I just don't think he can win a Cy Young anymore because he doesn't stay healthy enough. I wanted to be different. I thought Carlos Martinez was ready for that, but Carlos Martinez he's got over a 3 ERA, right? And he's been very inconsistent. So disappointing, certainly. So I wanted to be different, and boy, was I wrong about that. Wow, I'm looking at the highlights of this Braves-Mets game, and wow. That ball was absolutely crushed. I mean, that's got to be about 440 feet to dead center. Oh, my God, what a catch. Is that a tuna? It looked like you had some very good stuff on display. And that includes a Harper opposite field home run, and Harper finally started to hit like Harper. Yeah, it's very hard to figure out why. Wait, what happened here? Oh, I see. I'm going to argue it on a check swing. Play umpires are pretty bad. They've always been pretty bad, to be honest. They've always been pretty bad. Some interesting highlights, though. Take a look at Juan Soto, who is the runaway rookie of the year in the National League with the numbers that he has. He's got 15 home runs, and that's just been terrific. This is a game that the Braves won with Dalton Ulrich's struggles with his control late, so they had to go to that bullpen. And they don't have a strong bullpen, but they got out of a bases loaded jam, a big strikeout, and they were able to win the game 8-3. Acuna is the one who hit the home run, and Culberson also hit a home run. Sort of Flowers. I give the Braves a lot of credit. I think, like Colin said, they're a year early as far as arrival. But I'll tell you what, they are right there. We'll see. If you break down this MVP race, all right, so we talked about Freeman. I've talked about Matt Carpenter. I don't think he is really – I don't think he'll be there unless if he can hit 45, hopefully he has 40s plus home runs. Then, you might have to say, you know what, maybe he is the best offensive player. But you just don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think it's between three guys, Freddie Freeman, Arenado, who plays Gold Glove caliber defense and probably wound up with 40-plus home runs again and 120 RBIs. He actually has less RBIs than Javi Baez. Those are the three players that are competing for the award. Then you have other guys having great offensive seasons, like Matt Carpenter, who's been on a ridiculous clip and ridiculous run, and Eugenio Suarez, and Scooter Jeanette. So you have other guys that are having great years, and don't forget about Jesus Aguilar, who is back to finally hitting and raking for the Brewers at his 28th home run in a win over the Padres. So I think you pretty much know players will be in discussion here for this, but it really depends, who do voters value the most? Is it Arenado, who's never had a top three MVP finish despite the fact that every year he puts up great numbers across the board, who is not just an offensive guy, but he can play great defense at third? Is it the very solid overall Freddie Freeman, who, if he could hit 31, 32 home runs, wind up with a 320 average and 9,900 RBIs? Is it him? Or is it the very versatile, even though he is a free swinger, is it the very versatile Javi Baez, who has played himself into the discussion and raised his average? It was over 300. He didn't get a hit in the Cubs' loss. He's down to 298 with the NL leading RBIs, and I think 25 home runs, 25 or 26 home runs, and 19 stolen bases. And he plays unbelievable defense. He's made more errors this year, but he's also played. Hasn't just played second base. He's played shortstop. He's played third. He even played first. And he makes great plays. I've seen this guy make plays that are just, you know what? They're just unbelievable. But we know what kind of player he is. And he steals home. He does a lot of, it really depends on who do you really like? Who do you like the most out of the three players that I basically mentioned? And a lot will depend on how they finish. We're at August the 9th. So there's still a lot of great baseball to be played and over the next 7 weeks. So I think it should just be enjoyed. So let's enjoy what should be a great race, including your MVP race that we've talked about, and see where these guys wind up. Maybe Aguilar gets on a tear again, and if he can get on a tear again, maybe he plays himself back into it. He's got 28 home runs, 82 RBIs. The average has dipped a little bit and been as good since the break. But I didn't see Baez hitting close to 300, and I don't know if he will. But he's got 25 home runs, 80 RBIs with a 298 average and 19 stolen bases and a 916 OPS, despite the fact he doesn't really walk. But he plays great defense also. Arenado's got good splits this year too. So it's not just that he's just a product of Coors Field. I just don't know if they're going to give a guy who plays for Colorado an MVP. You know, I used to kid JPG all the time about Baez, MVP Baez, I used to call him. I always would call him that because he won MVP of the NLCS in that 2016 season that they wound up winning the whole thing. Well, guess what? I mean, MVP Baez is for real this year. So he's competing for the NL MVP. Rizzo is still knocking in his runs, and he's hitting leadoff, and he's quietly got 72 or 73 runs knocked in. But he's been injury-plagued. And Chris Bryant's been on and off the DL, and he's back on again the DL. And he is their best player. But Javi Baez has been by far and away the Cubs' best player. And he is in that race right now. And in that discussion, it's fun. He's an exciting player to watch. And it'll be interesting to see where he winds up. That's what I'm most curious. Where is he going to wind up? Where will he finish as far as his home runs, as far as his stolen bases? He's going to wind up with over 100 RBIs. What about his batting average? Is it going to slip back down to 275 or 280, which can happen because he's Javier Baez, or is he going to keep the average up? He keeps that average close to 300 and winds up with another 8-9 home runs, winds up with almost 30-30 and 110, 115 RBIs. Well, he's got a legit chance to win the award. So that's the award I thought was Bryce Harper's to lose. But Bryce Harper has not been Bryce Harper. And when you hit below 250, I don't care how many home runs he hits in the second half, even if he finishes with 40 home runs, he's not going to be in the top five of the MVP race. So Paul Goldschmidt's been a little bit down this year. The power numbers are about right. But it's not stealing bases, not hitting for the average. So he's not going to be in the race. Not unless things totally change. That's not going to happen. Too bad Suarez plays on such a bad team. I mean, he's got the average. He's got the home runs. He's got the RBIs. BL 326, 87, 958 OPS, but he plays on the Reds. He's a terrific ball player. So Trevor Story also is a very good player for the Colorado Rockies. He's bounced back. He's got 290 average, 24 runs, 79 RBIs, and 14 stolen bases. Play on that shortstop. Does that take away from what Arenado is doing with the Rockies with the 29 home runs, the 304 average, the 81 RBIs? Will Story take away some of those votes? I don't know. Yeah, see, I don't really know how this plays. But it's an interesting discussion. And that's why I'm discussing it. I mean, personally, I think Freddie Freeman, and I think that Baez mean the most to their teams this year, just based on the fact, well, that Colorado also has Story, and they also have Charlie Blackman, even though Blackman's been kind of disappointing this year. Arenado, I think, is the best player. I think Arenado's the best overall player out of all these guys. But I think that Freddie Freeman and his importance to the Braves, not just offense, but defense, and Javi Baez will run this year on both sides, they might have more value. So, of course, if you go by wins above replacement, I think that Arenado would top out. Be the top guy. I don't just like to go by just one thing, though. I really like to look at everything. I like looking at everything. But I know what these guys can do. I know what the capability is. How much are they overachieving? How much value? How much are they bringing to the game? That's what makes it fun, really. It makes it fun to follow. So whether you like that excitement, you like the excitement of a Javi Baez, or you rather have the consistency and two-way play of an Arenado, or maybe you love Freddie Freeman, and now he's finally got his team there. You know, maybe Freddie Freeman, maybe you want to vote for him. It really is about who do you favor? Who do you favor? And I think that's what makes it an exciting award. It's especially with the unpredictability of this National League. So
there is a lot of unpredictability with the award itself. When you've got these three players, Avi Baez rates just underneath a 5 and wins above replacement. Arenado, we'll just take a quick look. I'm pretty sure he's got to be at least 5.5, 6 because of what he does. Actually, he's just below Baez. He's 4.6, so that's where he rates. And how about Freddie Freeman? Freddie Freeman. So we're just taking a quick look because this live portion is about to end, and I think I'm just going to end the show. Freddie Freeman is a 4.7. So these three guys are very, very close together. They are very close together. Out of just curiosity, I'm going to look at two other guys here, Suarez, as we basically have a minute left here, 4.0. And I will also look at Aguilar, who I think will be probably below the other guys that I've mentioned. Aguilar has a 2.9. So I've named some of the guys here that are going to compete for this award. It will be fun to see who winds up winning it. It should be a great race to follow. The Yankees are going to be returning. And by the way, Mark Hakus is 3.5. I'm going to be returning. They're going to take on the Texas Rangers. Look, these are the games. These are the opponents they have to take advantage of. So we'll see if they can continue to turn it around. But again, you know, they are missing a couple of just really valuable players, including Aaron Judge, who would have been he would have been in the discussion, but he wouldn't have finished in the top 5 this year for MVP. But that's going to do it for this podcast. This is just a straight baseball podcast right now. And you've listened to the Hard Hits Network with Derek Felix in the New York City area. And it's been a lot of fun, of course, again, to cover the baseball. One thing I will want to finish with, I know Severino picked up his 15th win. You know, his ERA is up to a 3.11. You know, Giancarlo Stanton doesn't have as much support right now in the lineup, but he's really been swinging a hot bat for the Yankees. And back-to-back games with home runs, consecutive games, including that grand slam that he hit to the opposite field, up to 27 home runs, 73 RBIs. And he deserves a lot of credit. It's tough when you lose both Judge and you lose Sanchez, and they have Aaron Boone's batting him second. And that's not easy for him. But also, I told you how much I love Andujar. I'm going to give credit to two other guys in this lineup, Aaron Hicks being one. Yes, is Aaron Hicks, you know, not a great hitter? Sure. He's hitting around 250. But I'll tell you what, Aaron Hicks plays a great center field, and every home run he hits is a new career high. It's up to 19. Hit his 19th today. So he could wind up with close to 30 home runs out of that center field spot. When was the last time that happened? To a guy by the name of Bernie. I'm talking Burn, baby, Burn. Bernie Williams, of course, I'd be talking about. But I think Hicks and Neil Walker, a guy that I've bagged on before. I think Neil Walker has actually come through and delivered some really key hits. He only hits 222, but he's hitting a lot better since the All-Star break. And I kept making the case for getting rid of him. But he's actually played better of late, and he plays both second and third. And he's come up with some key hits. So I'm going to give him some credit as well. I think they both deserve credit. It's easy to give Giancarlo Stanton the credit, but Aaron Hicks always flies under the radar. And I feel the same way towards Neil Walker now. I kind of changed my tune on him because I think Neil Walker's come up with some pretty big ones. So, myself. So you have to give credit where it's due, even when you're wrong. So, it's fun regardless. I know it's tough seeing them get swept up in Boston. It's always tough because I hate Red Sox fans, the way they act. Especially with the Yankee sup chant. But and I don't like their manager. I think their manager is an obnoxious jerk, Alex Cora. But you have to give credit where it's due, too. So I just want to make a final point. This is just, I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, but, you know, you're supposed, if you're supposed to be the voice of the Yankees on the YES Network, and I understand they have other TV voices, and I think the other broadcasters call better game than them, but Michael Kay is supposed to be the voice of the Yankees. When you have him on his own show, the Michael Kay show, of course, and having the nerve to critique injured players, Ellsbury, for one, who, of course, is out for the rest of the year again, may never play again, who knows, and yeah, have another surgery done. And you critique a kid, one of the top prospects in Clint Frazier, critiquing them for their injuries when Clint Frazier has suffered dizzy spells from post-concussion syndrome. How unprofessional can you get? I mean, look, I never liked Michael Kay. I've always thought he was a fraud. And that he actually said something like that in response to a caller, that's almost like a lame excuse for the Yankees losing four straight in Boston. I mean, come on. That was embarrassing. It was embarrassingly bad. And I just want to commend Clint Frazier for what he did. Clint Frazier went after Michael Kay and said, facetious or not, and I don't think it was facetious. I don't appreciate what you said today. I'm doing everything I can to get healthy so I can play symptom-free. And that's the most important thing when it comes to concussions, when it comes to the, you know, the dangers that lurk. So steer clear of probably calling me out for not when we haven't had one convo about my concussion this year. Shame on you, bro. And I'll tell you what. I mean, it is just absolutely abominable and so unprofessional and so fraudulent for this guy, this clown, to do. Does he have no shame? I mean, he has no class. And it was totally disrespectful. You'd think that he would be more understanding and understand than the fact that he didn't even have any convos with Clint Frazier when he is covering the Yankees. That just says it all. But you know, Clint Frazier is just he's in the right, and it's very tough to recover. And I want to say all the best to Clint Frazier. Get healthy. Do what's best for you. So I just want to say, and that's pretty much it. So that's going to do it for the show, baseball podcast. Tomorrow is a new day. So we'll do another podcast. I think we'll do mostly baseball themed. I am looking to start a new hockey podcast as well, a new hockey show, mostly local with local flavor, of course, with the Rangers, Islanders, Devils, and some old school hockey as well included, and some other hockey stuff. So we're gonna do a hockey show as well, so keep an eye open for that. Football is around the corner as well. We'll get into some of that as well, but that is gonna do it for me. So I really do hope anybody who listened enjoyed. If you have never, you know, listened to this show before, and I obviously need more followers, please feel free to tune into any of my shows at www.blogtalkradio.com/hardhits. 21. So that would be www.blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/HARDHITS2121. And you could tune into any of the shows and listen on your time, because it is a podcast. We covered everything that we wanted to cover here. And things continue to heat up with baseball. And if you want to give me a follow, on my regular account, my account that I'm busy with is at New York Puck. That's at NEWYORKPUCK. And you can follow me on there. I'm also at Derek, Derek, Flex, Flex, Felix, Felix. And you can follow me there as well. Although I haven't done too much on that account lately. But as we continue to keep busy here in the summer, and always fun to do these shows. Maybe in future we'll try to bring Colin Kemeny back in, maybe John Gianorio if we can fit him in. All right, but that's going to do it. All right, thank you for tuning in. I am Derek Felix, and this is the Hard Hits Network, and this is the Baseball Podcast, and we'll see you all next time. Enjoy your Thursday, everybody. Happy birthday to Amanda Davis. A little shout out for her. Happy 27th, Amanda. Love you, and hope that you have a great and fantabulous day. That's it for us. Thank you, and have a good night.